Our speaker this morning tells me that he's here celebrating his 50th anniversary from the time of his graduation from the Brigham Young University. Graduated here in 1902. Even prior to that time, he had studied music in Germany, later studied music at Columbia University, was a teacher for some years at Ricks College and also at the LDS University in Salt Lake. By virtue of that, since that is a part of the BYU now, he was on our faculty. Brother Kirkham, I think, however, is known to most of us for his lifetime of service in the Boy Scout movement. Held all kinds of offices in that great work. Be interested in knowing that at four different world jamborees, one held at Birkenhead, England in 1920, another in Arrowhead, England in 1929, another in Hungary in 1933, and another in Holland in 1937. At all of these four world jamborees, he was the chief morale officer and rendered great credit to himself and to the church. He's been a member of the Council of 70 since 1941, always been a great and loyal supporter of the Brigham Young University. And we're honored today to have him here to give us his usual enthusiastic talk. I'm told that he's going to speak on the subject, "In Us You Live Again."
President Wilkinson, members of the faculty, student body. It's a very challenging opportunity I went one day to the island of Maui. I was going to speak to the student body, the oldest college in those islands. The young man who was a valedictorian at that graduating exercise made an exceptionally fine address. I followed him up the walk after the exercises were over. I congratulated him. I said, "I would like to ask you a personal question. Do you mind?" "Oh," he said, "go ahead. Could you tell me who your grandparents were?" "Yes, I can tell you. A Norwegian sailor, Portuguese woman, the other side, my Chinese man, a Hawaiian woman. These were my grandparents." "Well," I said, "with all this blood surging in your veins, who are you?" And I remember he straightened up and he stopped in his walking. He turned and looked at me and he said, "I'm a pure American." Well, I went down to the office, principal of the school, and I said, "I've been deeply impressed with the young man that I've met." He said, "You mean the young man who gave the valedictorian address?" I said, "Yes." "Well, if we can just keep him balanced, He's going to be a great fellow someday. Just recently, he received a check for $750. He won the American Legion Prize on an essay that was scattered, that is the title given to all the high schools on the mainland, and that was probably the places where you did some of your high school work. But he said he won. Why I'm an American. Well, I looked for him again, and after a little while I saw him on the campus, and I walked over to him and I said, it's about 30 or 40 minutes before the plane goes. Are you busy? No, he said, I've been looking for you though. I want you to go with me somewhere. Well, I said, lead out. Well, he said, it'll be quite a hike. I want to go up on the side of the mountain. So he hiked out. As we went along, he said, I'm going to introduce you to someone. It will not be a personal introduction, but I hope it'll be interesting. I want to tell you something about this individual. He came to this school when he was 28 years old. It was a new experience to go to school. But he had two things that he has implanted in our hearts. That's a love for the Hawaiian people and a love for the crafts, the things you make with your hands. We treasure his memory here at this school. It was some time ago when he was with us, but every student here at Maui, his story is told. He stays with us. And about then, in the story and with our ordinary chatter, new place, looking back to see the vista and all of that, in the bend of the trail, we suddenly faced a granite slab. Now he stood back. He let me go forward. And on this granite slab were these words: David Mallow. In us, you live again. What a magnificent tribute to any member of a faculty or the president of a university, to whom it could be truly said, in us you live again. Here's where your dreams come true. Here's where the things for which you prayed and worked shall live again. I was so deeply impressed by it. We walked down the trail again. Off I went to another island. When I was invited to come here this morning, I worried about things to say. Anyone who faces you does. Potential here is intense. It's marvelous. I say it sincerely. If there's a concentrated hope in the Latter-day Saint Church, It's right here. God bless you, everyone. For in you, this church will live again and again and again. That's how I sincerely feel about it. Now I've tried to think how I might develop that thought with you, and I've taken this route. I hope I can make it helpful. I want to read short statements from three of our great prophets of this people. And I believe they challenge us. They open the door for opportunity to live with them again. When Dr. Cook of Illinois came through our tabernacle grounds, I had been with him in North Dakota, and fine gentleman, looked all around. I began to talk about buildings like we all do, and materials and all of that. And finally, when we sat down for a moment on the lovely grounds, he said, Kirkham, there's one thing that I've seen here that deeply impresses me. He said, I read over in the Bureau of Information a short sentence. The glory of God is intelligence. I'm deeply impressed with it. The man who wrote that had prophetic vision. Then we talked about it a little bit, like probably you have meditated upon it. A sentence from your own great founder, Brigham Young. Here's the key to his life's work. And you and I must constantly revive the thinking of this great man, for he was truly a great man. Here's the key to his life's work. Whatever duty God places on me, in His strength, I intend to fulfill it. I think it's worthy of our best association at this university. Whatever duty God places on me, in His strength I intend to fulfill it. May I make another quote from one of our great leaders and prophets? His words, not very often given in public, but with the work that I've been associated, it's been a constant challenge. That of missionary work. Lorenzo Snow. There is a way to every human heart, and you may know that way if you'll be humble and prayerful and study God's holy word. Of the many things that you've been reading of the three prophets who now lead us, I looked through recent expressions for the public. These I give to you from President David O. McKay at a dedication of a chapel in Box Elder Stake. He said the following: three virtues contribute to the development of the spirit of man. First, control of the passions. Second, reverence. A great man is reverent. His attitude toward God and his Son Jesus Christ. And third, service to his fellow men. This is the mark of a truly great man, said President David O. McKay. And his counselor, President Stephen L. Richards, at a dedication at Millville Chapel: we are engaged in building his kingdom here on earth. There is our assignment. Men are not endowed with the same talents, but everyone can make a contribution in his own way. And these words from President J. Reuben Clark, when he was interviewed on September the 1st of this year by the Associated Press on the occasion of his 81st birthday, these lovely words he gave to the Associated Press: this is a great world for each youth, but he must conquer it for himself by work and right living. Well, here are the words of prophets. Here are the words of men whom we greatly respect. And they're full of real meaning. Now, there are many ways in which we find ourselves here at the university, expressing our life humbly and the best we can. There are three things, as I run along in threes, that I'd like to suggest to you, that I think is within the reach of all of us, every man and woman that's here. And they're the three that I feel will help us, truly help us. I hope that every man and woman here have already turned their heart and their best thinking to a period of their time when they really give their best to a study of the Word of God. I admit and I know that you face the work that's before you as a life's work. But I earnestly appeal, if my days have meant anything to me, I give it to you as my humble contribution. Study the Word of God. It still remains the Holy Bible is the great book, the great book, the bestseller. More people constantly reading new people reading. My, what a challenge to our thinking. Let you and I do it. There's something lovely about it. Truly lovely. When the great Shakespeare was asked, "Where did you get your inspiration?" And this is given as his reply, "From the Psalms of David." And what a lovely tribute. Yes, let us not go on our way without the enrichment of this lovely opportunity. The prophets, the Word of God, the life, the sayings of the Master. These are all yours. And with a prayerful devotion, I bear humble testimony that God will warm your heart and soul to more vision, clear vision, worthwhile understanding, the safeguard on the road, the enrichment that we need on our way, and any other source that I know of, although my efforts have been very humble. Study and read, prayerfully read, the Word of God. Let me just say one other word about that from another point of view. I've touched recently, I met day before yesterday, five fellows coming back from Korea. Recently I met a young man coming back from Shanghai. And as we chatted together, he said, "Brother Kirkham, I had an interesting experience. You meet with many of the fellows, and I want to give it to you." And here's what he told me. He said, "When I was in Shanghai, I got very hungry to go to a Mormon church." And he said, "I went down to the consul's office one day in Shanghai, and I said, 'Is there a Mormon church here in Shanghai?' 'Wait a minute, young man, I'll see. We've got the church listed.' He went down the way. 'No.' I said, 'Try the Latter-day Saints. See if they come under that name.' Went down the list. 'No.' He went back to his barracks, somewhat discouraged, for he was really anxious to see if he couldn't find someone belonging to the church. When he got back to the barracks, there were about eight fellows sitting on the cot. There was a package, just came in the mail. Some of you fellows have had this experience, I'm sure. They just hang around like hawks until you open up the package. And finally, he, taking his time, which was his high privilege, he broke the string, and they expected candy cookies or something. But, pardon me. I never sink when I'm in the water. He said, he opened it, and there before him, under beautiful white napkin, not things to eat, but his mother had sent a copy of the Book of Mormon, had it covered with this napkin. She'd always been after him about reading the Book of Mormon. And then he said, as he sat among his friends, now forgetting they were present, "Well, hello, mother." And a boy over his shoulder said, "The Book of Mormon. What do you know about it?" "Well, I am a Mormon." "You are?" Yes, he said. Come over here, I'll show you where there are three more. In a few moments, these fellows had resolved that they'd meet and read together. Make the Word of God your friend. I'd like to say one word about your life's work. We must be also very fair to that. And I'd like to illustrate that with a privilege that came to me once with 301 American youth. Elihu Root was presenting the bust of Lincoln to Westminster Abbey. We crowded around him. One man standing nearby was Paderewski, then the Premier of Poland. Once the greatest pianist of the world. We saw him with his bushy hair, his wonderful lines, his features, his personality fairly standing out. We fellows, anxious to get a word from him, we heard him speaking with others in English, and he did it fluently. And one American youth had the courage to say, "Mr. Paderewski, what do you count? How do you account for your great achievement?" And he said to them, "I give you one word. Concentrate." Well, this morning I repeat his word to all of you. Concentrate. Hold your mind. That's your test. To the task. Then you'll succeed. It's that personal, individual effort. God bless us to fall in love with the Word of God, to give our best and hold our mind to the thing to which we put our hand. I pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.